After 39 and a half years of wandering in the desert, Mrs. Moses secretly asks for directions. There was a survey by a British insurance company in the time just before everyone's phone had a GPS. They concluded that men were driving an additional 276 miles every year, wandering around, refusing to ask for directions. 26% waited a half an hour before asking, and 12% refused to ask for help at all. The company determined that in the course of their driving lifetimes, men would spend approximately $3,000 in additional gas charges, all because they couldn't make themselves say, "I don't know where I am or how to get where I'm trying to get to." It may be taking our Unitarian Universalist notion of a free and responsible search a turn or two too far. Or as the old joke asks, why does it take 1 million sperm to fertilize one egg? Because they don't ask for directions. I don't know. Three little words that are seemingly for some the hardest ones of all to say. To admit that we don't know. To be the one who isn't in the know. To realize, particularly when it really matters, that I really don't know, is an uncomfortable feeling for most of us, no matter where we locate along a gender spectrum. And perhaps it can feel especially threatening in the context of our often simplistic sectarian divide to admit this is a social or political situation in which we simply don't know. Doing something, voting for something, speaking out against something, advocating for something is easier than acknowledging right now we just don't know. There's a portion of Zen Buddhism that, as is often the case in that tradition, turns common thinking on its head. There we find a basic teaching called don't know mind. Don't know mind is regarded not as a deficit or a shortcoming of some kind, but rather as a potential asset. Jeff Keitzitz is a psychotherapist and Zen master who also goes by the name Bon Song. He explains in a talk from the Empty Gate Zen Center in Berkeley. The Empty Gate Zen Center in Berkeley. We want to know. We think we know. We think we're supposed to know. There's all of this bias towards knowing. But we don't really know. Zen Buddhist explains, have this radical teaching. How about admitting that we don't know and go from there? If we really live that, it changes everything. Song, as guiding teacher, continues, don't know doesn't mean stupid. It means, what is it? Suddenly our eyes are open. We're vibrating with energy because we wonder, what? Rather than, oh yeah, I know that. So he says, this not knowing actually gives us life. It gives vibrancy and energy to the world we live in. These Zen practitioners see I don't know not as some weakness, but as an opportunity for curiosity. By not clinging to what they claim to know, I can actually open myself up to the possibility of seeing a given situation in a whole new light. Or being in don't know mind may present an occasion to learn in a whole new way. I'm guessing that's what the masterful and creative scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson meant when he described the best of the scientific impulse as we're not afraid to admit what we don't know. There's no shame in that. The only shame is to pretend that we have all the answers. Imagine Copernicus clinging to conventional knowledge, pretending it all made sense, rather than admitting he didn't know. Imagine Maria Mitchell or Jane Goodall or Katherine Johnson deciding that their scientific role was simply to master what was already known. I don't know didn't signal for them the arrival of some wall, some dead end, but rather the need to search for a doorway, an opening to a whole new pathway of scientific knowledge. I recall reading a commemoration of the 50th anniversary of Crick and Watson's announcement of their discovery of the double helix structure of DNA. In it, Francis Crick rather humbly asserted, the major credit that I think Jim and I deserve is for selecting the right problem and sticking to it. Their problem was firmly rooted in what they didn't know, in what they were then driven to discover. In so many ways that I can now see with greater clarity, my own personal spiritual journey has been perennially driven forward by the often uneasy awareness of, I don't know. I look with deep gratitude and warmth to that large, loving, creative congregation of my childhood and adolescence. But there was, in retrospect, a perpetual uneasiness. I didn't know. I couldn't quite make sense of it. My call to ministry came in the form not of confident cocksurety, but out of curiosity, an awareness of not knowing. The search led me all the way to a little village in Switzerland and then back here to more seminary studies in the States. All the while, I knew that I didn't really know. To a big, bold, audaciously progressive congregation where I gained experience and confidence. Then to another, and another still. Wonderful communities, good work to do, a clear sense of calling, always accompanied by a gnawing sense of, I don't know. When I finally conceded that I could no longer minister within the tradition that had been mine for my whole life, Unitarian Universalism emerged as a welcomed way to continue my profession in a whole new setting. All the way to the West Coast and the headiness of Berkeley, filled with so many new learnings and so many new awarenesses that I didn't know. Now, years here among you, both firmly planted in purpose and wondering, curious, confused, bewildered, not knowing. While this tradition may offer me my final context for professional ministry, I can only hope. I am, to some of your disappointment, less personally interested in claiming Unitarian Universalism as the apex, the place to which I have at long last arrived, and much more interested in what I don't know. The great Dag Hammarskjöld speaks for me, probably for many of us, describing such a journey. I am being driven forward into an unknown land. The path goes steeper, the air colder and sharper. A wind from my unknown goal stirs the strings of expectation. Still the question, shall I ever get there? There where life resounds a clear, pure note in the silence. What a welcomed companion on this wild and wonderful journey has been the late Polish poet Wisława Szymborska. How I have loved her wry and witty writings. When she stood before the world on the Nobel stage, she chose, in characteristic modesty, to attest not to grand insights, but to her personal awareness of not knowing. So she attested, I value that little phrase, I don't know, so highly. It's small, but it flies on mighty wings. It expands our lives to include the spaces within us, as well as those outer expanses in which our tiny earth hangs suspended. Szymborska juxtaposes her valuation of I don't know over against, as she calls them, all sorts of torturers, dictators, fanatics, and demagogues struggling for power by way of a few shouted slogans. They know. And whatever they know is enough for them once and for all. They don't want to find out about anything else, since that might diminish their argument's force. Perhaps it is in the intervening 2 decades since Wisława Szymborska offered her observations in Stockholm, that misguided inclination has now trickled down from those most malicious miscreants and into the general population. Those whose claim to understand is enfeebled by a congenital case of incuriosity. to simplistic political allegiances, both ours and these, that cause them to refuse and foreclose possibilities of other ways outside of the straight ticket, simplistic sectarianism of this or that. Those whose views of history remain guarded and enshrined, while decrying and even denouncing those calling now with ever louder voices for the need to acknowledge our nation and its heroes' deep investments in injustice. Those who see social ills and assume such solutions as there may be can only emerge from an acceptable range of actions and a proper regard for the processes and the institutions long established by the status quo and its powerful power brokers. It's time now for more of us to admit, I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. For those now paying attention, we're aware that our agenda for this year as a congregation is rooted in that assessment, holding in abeyance what we can do, what we should do, and asking instead about what we do not know. Wisława Szymborska offers hope for such an approach. In fact, she believes it can portend a breath of fresh air in the form of inspiration. Whatever inspiration is, she claims, it's born from a continuous, I don't know. Where is that in you? Where is that in us? Not the clinging to what we know, to what we've known, to what we're comfortable knowing. Where are you deeply aware that I don't know? Where might we direct our collective congregational awareness that we don't know? It is unnerving, unsettling, far easier perhaps to hold forth, opine, explain, complain, judge, take action. But as James Russell Lowell wrote in that long ago poem of his, new occasions teach new deeds. Time makes ancient good uncouth. They must onward still and upward who would keep abreast of truth. Perhaps we might think of this as our season of gestation. Out of the calling into question, out of the unseating of old authorities, old heroes and heroines, out of risking understanding ourselves as the ones who in fact don't know, we might find something more hopeful, more just, more equitable, more compassionate. Perhaps for us too, we can experience inspiration, new life even, born out of a continuous